There is just so much hope and power that God is at work. The idea that God's words have power and there's this creative force that can shape the world. You know, when God spoke, the world was created. When God said, exiles, you're coming home, that's gonna happen. Those words just didn't stop working until that reality was true. When God says, knowing Jesus gives you life, those words keep working in us. They keep bringing that into being more and more.
This is Four People with Bishop Rob Wright.
Welcome to Four People with Bishop Rob Wright. I'm Melissa Rao, your host, and this is a conversation inspired by Four Faith, a weekly devotion sent out every Friday. You can find a link to this week's Four Faith and a link to subscribe in the episode's description. Today, we have a special guest with us, Sally Ulrey, who wrote this week's Four Faith devotion. Sally, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Will you briefly share a little bit about yourself, including your role with the Diocese of Atlanta?
Sure. My role with the diocese is I am stepping into the role of canon for congregational vitality and ministry development. I've been working in the Office of Congregational Vitality since the end of 2018. And prior to that, I worked in parishes in the Diocese of Atlanta doing formation and youth ministry, which is really my first love. And I am married. I have two kids, Remnant, who's 10, Jubilee, who's about to turn 8 tomorrow. So we're excited about that. And a house full of pets.
That's great. But I didn't hear, okay, so you're going to be like a big shot canon of congregational vitality, and I don't see the reverend in front of your name.
That is correct. I am not ordained.
Wow. That's awesome. I just have to say, I wish there were more canons of congregational vitality popping up across the church. And so
yes,
I like celebrating when dioceses empower lay people to do incredible work with and for congregations that don't necessarily have to be ordained to do that. So,
amen.
Rock on, Diocese
of Atlanta. All the baptized.
It's fabulous. Well, you wrote this week's devotion, and it's based off of Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 13, and you named it Void. And really, it's about speaking the word and the word coming back, right? Like God making things happen. And so could you just unpack the concept a little bit? Because I really like your take on it.
Well, sure. I think that there is just so much hope and power that God is at work, that the idea that God's words have power and they're this creative force that can shape the world. You know, when God spoke, the world was created. When God said, exiles, you're coming home, that's going to happen. Those words just didn't stop working until that reality was true. And so to me, the hopeful part is that when God says, knowing Jesus gives you life, knowing Spirit enlivens your soul, those words keep working in us. They keep bringing that into being more and more. And to me, that's really hopeful until it's more and more true, until it's more and more real. And sure, we have some partnership in that. Like this week's gospel, I think one of the main takeaways, the parable of the sower, is that we can prepare the soil of our hearts, and that when we do that, God's word works better, I guess. But when God's word goes out, it just doesn't return empty-handed. I love that idea. It feels like such good news, like hope, that God is still working on me and that God's word is working in me, and it's not going to stop doing that. Even when I'm tired, God is going to see that through. So I really like that idea.
I love that idea. And as I was listening to you, I was thinking about your role with congregational vitality and working with so many church communities and faith communities who, I don't know what it is. I feel many of them are anxious.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to say hopeless, but are just lamenting certain things. So what's your take on that? What's your invitation?
Oh, God,
yeah. What's God's invitation?
I think God's invitation is continued partnership, that God, and the hope is that God is still at work in their communities, in their neighborhoods. God is already working. God has never stopped working. And so the invitation is to join God in that work, even when we're tired, even when we're mourning the loss of what used to be. There's like such a hopefulness that God says, you know what? I'm putting this world back together. That's what I'm doing. I'm about the ministry of reconciliation, and that hasn't stopped. I'm still doing it. And so to find, I think the invitation is for congregations to look with new eyes and find the places that God is already at work. God is out there. It's happening.
I love that.
It might not be the places we think.
I think it was Christopher A.H. Wright who said, God's church has a mission. No, God has a mission and God's mission has a church. And because you used the big, I think you used the word restoration or reconciliation just previously. What is our responsibility in that? I feel like, you know, a lot of people get caught up in the condemnation part, and you wrote, you highlighted in your devotion, God says there is no condemnation in those in Christ.
That's right.
And yet we're so darn good at condemning one another.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there is, I think part of our responsibility or the ask of us is, again, what the gospel is talking about, like the soil, to prepare that for God's word really to take root and to take it to heart. And I think one of the ways that maybe that lives itself out in congregations, not just our own personal life, is that we have to look in with new eyes, in new ways. Exactly what you're saying, that there's not, we're not looking with a condemning lens. We're looking with a lens of, what is God up to? You know, in the Diocese of Atlanta, our kind of theme for this past year was that God is doing a new thing. And so to look with a different lens, to say, you know, yeah, some things were terrible about what we've just been through in the pandemic and our church is in decline. And, you know, but what, how can we change the lens and look instead and say, God has always been working. God is still about this business. There's still things happening. We just have to look with new eyes. I think that's the invitation for us, is to know that and to have that hope and to hold on to that.
Love it. Friends, we're going to be right back after a short break.
Hi, listeners. Thank you for listening to Four People, a space of digital evangelism. You can keep up with us on Instagram and Facebook at Bishop Rob Wright. And now back to Four People.
Welcome back. So, Sally, you know, when we talk about hope and we talk about our role, you closed out your devotion and you said this, you said, our words help bring closer the kingdom, or they can anyway. And you asked the question, are our words helping bring closer the kingdom? Are we speaking words of life? What do you think the answer to those questions are?
Oh, I think yes and no. Yeah. Because we're human beings. That the thing that I like about that is that, you know, we are made in God's image. And if God's words are creative and restorative and shape the world and change the world, then, you know, we have part of that creative energy as well, because we're created in God's image. So we have this opportunity to be a creative force for good, to shape the world, to speak life. And I think that we do that sometimes, and other times we're less intentional about that. And so I think, again, the opportunity, the invitation is, you know, to be more like God in being intentional and shaping the world and speaking life into the world. And of course, we have to back that up with our actions. But I do think that our words matter, and that we actually have some power, that we can affirm goodness and life and freedom. We can do that, and it makes a difference.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty cool too.
I love that. There are forces in the world, no doubt, right? Water is a force. And water can be devastating, and yet it can also be cleansing and do all the things that water leaves behind. I've also often wondered or thought about the phrase, or mind the wake you make.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've ever gone water skiing or boating or anything, right? Like that. I feel like we have some responsibility because our words have power and they can be restorative or not. Yes. They can be very destructive. And I'm not sure we're always minding the wake we make.
Yes.
The choices of the words, you know, the words we choose to utter into the world. And I'm not talking about, you know, dropping, you know, the curse word every now and then or in frustration. I'm really talking about the ways that we interact with one another, and not just in our church communities, but especially with perfect strangers who actually might need the love of God more than anybody.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I remember in my youth ministry days, there was going around, youth ministers would use the illustration of the toothpaste.
I don't know this illustration.
No, so they would squeeze out, they would have the kids squeeze out a bunch of toothpaste and then try to get it back in the tube. And they would like use it as an illustration about like what you say, you know, it does have power. And anyway, that's what you're talking about kind of reminded me of those youth ministry days illustrations about the power of what you say and what you put out there into the world.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about our role in what's the role of the church? I kind of wonder if that's really a big question that we all as church communities need to worry about right now. What is our role? And if it's not to build one another up when we're together, then how? How are we going to have the stuff to do the work that I feel we're called to do, the kingdom work that is actually beyond our church community?
That's right. I mean, yeah, we've got to practice. We've got to be intentional about it. And the other thing that I think is a role of the church related to this, that word void, I like the translation void, but it's often translated empty or empty-handed. And so there's like a bunch of times when that word is used where a guest will show up and you don't leave them empty-handed. So there's like this generosity and hospitality associated with that, that, you know, one time the word is used, God's talking about the year of Jubilee when the prisoners who had sold themselves into servitude because of their poverty were set free and their debts were canceled. And God said, don't just cancel their debts. You also have to not send them away empty-handed. So there's like this, to me, this sense of like generosity that when you show up and you're a guest, you don't go away empty-handed. And when you let the word, you know, be in you and take root, and then when you show up and present yourself to God, you don't leave empty-handed. There's this generosity and hospitality that's associated. And I think as churches, we have to do that too. Like we have to just be so generous and not let people leave empty-handed. We have this gift in God's word that changes the world, that changes people. And we have to make sure that, you know, we are giving generously to others, that we're hospitable, that we're present, that we bless them above and beyond. And I think we do that to each other for, you know, to practice that so that we can exactly do that for the whole world above and beyond our churches.
Well, I could keep talking with you. I've got so many more questions. So hopefully we'll have an opportunity. But God does call us into abundance, and not just for us, but to share. So Sally, I'm grateful for your time. I'm grateful for your devotion. And listeners, we're grateful to you for listening and tuning in to Four People. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Bishop Rob Wright. Please subscribe, leave a review, and we'll be back with you next week.